Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're just going to be in the first six verses, and we'll finish it up next week. Now, concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, of whom all things, we for Him, one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through Him we live. We've been studying a new section in 1 Corinthians, and Paul, the first six chapters, has been addressing concerns. Chapter 7, we looked at the questions these guys had over being married and being single. But now through 8 and 10, Paul is going to begin to address the question of Christian liberty. And he's going to start out as using meat as an example. And he goes, now concerning things offered to idols. Okay, just a little background, a little culture background. In the city of Corinth were numerous temples dedicated to idols where animals would be sacrificed. A portion of meat would be consumed on the altar. Another portion would be given to the priest. And the rest of the meat would be sold in markets called shambles at reduced rates. The reduced rate meat is what these guys are talking about. Who likes meat? Who likes a good deal on meat? Okay, you kind of see where they're at. Everybody does. Okay, for the Corinthian Christian, this raised such questions. Can we eat meat purchased at the temple meat market? What if we're a guest at someone's home and they're serving this meat? Can we eat it? And then, you know, I was thinking of this, and it brought me this story. A friend of mine was having dinner, and he had some folks over. And this is not a meat-related story. This is some other kind of story. But anyway, they had the salad dressing, and they were getting ready to pour it. And the folks that were there noticed that it was out of date. Now, who in this room would say something about it being out of date? It's a tough call, is it not? I mean, it's buttermilk dressing. You don't necessarily want that, or ranch dressing, if it's bad, right? Now, what if someone invites you over to their house, okay, and you're a Corinthian Christian, and you sit down, and there's this big, luscious portion of meat? Would we ask them? See, these are the things they were faced with. Not only that, can a Christian eat, a Corinthian Christian, could he eat at a pagan temple restaurant? Because not only that, they would serve up some food right there as well. Now understand, what we have here and what Paul's going to address here is within the body of this of that fellowship, there would be maybe some Gentiles and there may be some Jewish folks. And so, see, this would be kind of sort of an issue. All right? But let me ask you this. How many times have we heard Christians spend hours debating and defending or justifying their preferred cut of meat sold at the temple market? Well, Christians should not do blank, and you fill it in. Christians should not go to this movie. Christians should not maybe wear this shirt or these pants. And I'm not talking about myself. I mean, I pretty much cycle through the same stuff every other week, if you hadn't figured it out. Yeah, and you're laughing because you know, he said, I see you in this shirt all the time. Believe it or not, my wife gets so mad at me because I have a bunch of other clothes in my closet, but I seem to gravitate towards maybe three. Okay? Three shirts. One pair of pants. I don't know. I messed up. But think about this. Should a Christian spend this much money on this car? Should a Christian spend this money on this big of a house? Should a Christian have tattoos? Should a Christian have piercings? Should a Christian wear this much makeup? Should a Christian die? I mean, the list goes on and on and on about what could be debating. And this is what's very interesting. When Paul begins to address liberty, and he uses meat as an example, okay? As he uses me as an example, he says, I want you to check your heart first. He doesn't begin the debate. He doesn't enter into the debate. He begins with, I want you to check your heart first. He keeps it very simple. And he begins to talk about knowledge and love and the effects of both in our life. Paul says, we know that we all have knowledge. And think about what he just said. Okay, let's level the playing field. Okay? We all have some bit of knowledge. We all have some bit of knowledge, right? But at the end of the day, what is important? I want you to look at your heart. In regards to liberty, I mean, some folks have certain liberties and some folks do not. Okay? And as we're going to see, and as he goes through there, I mean, the end of it is, hey, don't flaunt it. And we'll look at that next week. But we're really just going to look at this whole knowledge and love thing today and briefly look at what he says at the therefore, okay, very briefly. Paul begins talking about the principle of knowledge and love. What is Christian behavior to be founded on? Is it to be founded on love or is it to be founded on knowledge? And think about that for just a moment. Let's look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what was his behavior founded on? You guys are all familiar with John chapter 13, right? What happens in John chapter 13? The Lord is getting ready to do what? He's just about getting ready to go to the cross, and he decides to have what? They celebrate the Passover together, right? What happens in that Passover meal that is just so mind-blowing if you think about it? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, what does he do? In spite of everything he knows is going to take place, what does he do? Listen to this. John 13, verse 1. Now the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come and then he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I love that. Because you know what Peter's going to do, right? He's actually going to curse and deny the Lord three times. John Mark's probably going to run away naked. We don't know, just one disciple run away naked, right? And all the other disciples fled as well. And of course, we know what Judas did. When Jesus finished ungirding himself and wrapping himself in a towel. I still can't say it, even though I know I said it wrong. Shows you where I'm from. When he ungirds himself and wraps himself up in the thing you use to dry yourself off with, and washes her grimy, nasty feet. And then, of course, Peter says, no, you got to give me a full-blown bath. And no, Jesus is not really into the whole sponge bath. He says, no, you just need your feet washed. But then listen to what he says. He says, I give you a new commandment. A new commandment. John 13, verse 31 through 35. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot go. And a new commandment I give you. You're to love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love. Man, when you think of love, you think of what? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and love is not what? And you guys all know it. Come on. Love is what? Patient, kind, what else? This is interactive. Come on. Some of you are desperately wanting to talk. It's not proud. It's not self-seeking. Okay? Love. Remember, both knowledge and love, and this is what he's getting at, have an effect on our lives. Both of them make something grow. Okay, the difference between the two is one puffs up and one builds up. Listen to what he says. Knowledge puffs up, if we finish this verse, but love edifies. One puffs up, one builds up the individual. Some Christians grow, some Christians blow up like a balloon and they swell. That's what he's getting at. He goes, you know what? Concerning idols, we all have knowledge. But I want you to understand something that's very important. Knowledge, I was listening to her, knowledge edifies, or knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Who wants to grow? Please raise your hand and tell me you do. Everybody does, right? I want to ask you a question, though. How many times have we been in, and see, this is the kicker on a ministry whose focus really is teaching through the Word. Is people get a lot of knowledge. But knowledge separate from love is a big fat zero. See, knowledge separate from love is not going to bend down and wash some feet. It's not going to happen. How many times have you guys been around folks that they have all kinds of knowledge, but that's really as far that's as far as the relationship of the Lord seems to extend. You know, their heads are just swelled. Remember the Corinthian Christians. You remember Paul's already dealt with some of the concerns, and they were very prideful. They were very arrogant. They were all consumed with all of their wisdom and all that they knew. Now, Paul's getting very direct, and he says, I want you to understand something. And he's talking about Christian liberty. Okay? He's talking about Christian liberty. What's the most important thing? You got to think about love. Builds up. So how do we grow in love? And let's just keep this very simple, and this is nothing new. Spend time with Jesus. Remember, Jesus is more than a Bible study. Okay? Get that. Grab a hold of that. He is more than a Bible study. If all we desire to do is just have a Bible study, I think we miss the mark. Our purpose in coming here is to enjoy the Lord and enjoy each other. Our purpose for having devotions should be enjoying the Lord. Remember, He is the Lamb that was slain for you and for me. And I pray we never get past that. I mean, come on, let's grab a hold of this thing. Let's meditate down on this thing and let's think about it. You mean to tell me that the Lord Jesus, the one and only begotten Son of God, climbed up on a cross for me? That should blow us away. That we have this incredible inheritance. And you may get tired of hearing about this, but you know what? I think these kinds of things that we should be built up in and be reminded on should humble us and bring us to a place of just utter gratitude for what we've received. Paul never got past that. And you know what? I can be honest with you. Many times during the day, I really get past that and I forget about it. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without a blemish and without a spot. Never lose the wonder of the fact that the Lord loves you. Who had a bad day this week? Okay, come on. Liars, come on. You thought probably no one cared. The Lord did. The Lord did. Frederick Whitfield penned these words. There's a name I love to hear, a love I love to sing its worth. It sounded like music to my ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of the Savior's blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, you'll sunshine all the way. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because Jesus first loved me. Let's keep it simple. Let's never lose the wonder of being saved. Let's stay close to Jesus. Let's enjoy Jesus. And make the opening of the Bible about spending time with Jesus. Psalm 105, verse 1 through 5 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing songs to Him. Talk of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works He has done, His wonders, His judgments of His mouth. Incredible. There was a time in my life when, man, I was a real puffed up individual. And I think that's natural for someone of my stature. Okay? I think that's natural, small man syndrome. But here's what happened. I really hit a rock bottom. For me, it was a rock bottom. I mean, probably for you, it wouldn't have been such a rock bottom. But for me, it was really a rock bottom experience where I felt like I had nowhere else to go. And I definitely thought the Lord didn't want much with me, want much to do with me. And I found that His exceeding grace and His mercy really knew no limits. Because I thought what I did was just a horrible thing. And, you know, it really was. I mean, now you're not thinking, what was that horrible thing? It was not illegal. Okay? I didn't have to, you know, go serve time or anything like that. Okay? But it was one of those things where me as a Christian, I felt like I stepped really over the line, and I was convicted by it, and I was broken by it, and it depuffed me. Okay? And I learned a very valuable lesson that, you know what? All the knowledge in the world, and I didn't have that much knowledge. That's the thing, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. We think we may have a lot of knowledge, but we really don't. But the knowledge I had didn't help me in my circumstance. It was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the reality of being one swelled up. Okay, look at this. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Bottom line is, don't know as much as we think we know. Newsflash, at the end of the day, if we think we know it all, we really don't know anything. And here's a thought to keep us grounded. If we believe we know there is all to know about the Bible, if we've come to a place where we really believe we've arrived as Bible students, here's a question. How well do we know Jesus? Do we know all that there is to know about the Lord Jesus? And think about that. We're going to spend all eternity. I think we're going to be blown away every day by an experience about Jesus when we get into eternity. It's going to be just this continual unveiling of His glory and His majesty. And it's amazing that some folks think that they've got it all cornered and all figured out. It's not happening. It's not happening. You know, we treat this Bible sometimes like we've treated a job we worked at for a very, very long time. We think we know everything to know there, everything that to know about that job. And that's not the case. One thing I have enjoyed about machine shop over the years, you learn something new every day. You don't learn it all. And that's the truth. There's all kinds of things that on a regular basis I have learned. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. I've been doing it for 23 years. Standing in front of a machine for 23 years, running different parts and writing different programs, and you think at some point you got it all pretty much all figured out. I've seen this, I've done that. It's not the case. You know, some of us have been Christians for a very, very long time. I got to ask you a question. Are we just puffed up? Or are we just blown away by knowledge? Are we growing in love? Paul says, someone that thinks they've got it all figured out, they really haven't figured anything out. Now, here's a thought. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 19, this is what John said. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard him behind me, a loud voice of a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Now, what if you had a devotional day like that? Okay? Think about that. The dude's just hanging out with the Lord. He's kind of in prison, which is a bummer. He's on an island, right? And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me as a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. What do you see? What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. You know, okay, now this is kind of amazing. Its voice was like a trumpet. You ever had anyone blow a trumpet in your ear? Okay, just a horn. Let's say one of those, you know, those one of those horn things, you know, that people like to bring to ball games, you know. Did you turn around and like, look? I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment to his feet and girded about his chest with a golden band. His hair, his head were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass and refined in furnace. His voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, who was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. Write these things which you see and the things which you are, and the things which will take place after this. Now, this is the dude that leaned upon his breast. This is the beloved disciple. You would think that he would, and you know what? At this point in time, he's almost 100 years old. You would think he would know there was everything to know about the Lord. But what happened one day? He was spending time with the Lord, and the Lord showed him something incredibly new. See, we never will arrive. We're not going to even arrive at that place in eternity. Start thinking in terms of God's glory and God's majesty. I think we'll be blown away. William Copper said this: knowledge is proud that it has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that he has learned so little. Okay? Never lose the wonder of the Lord. Never make it about a Bible study. If we get to that place where we think we have arrived, the best thing we need to do is humble ourselves. Who wants to experience the Lord every day? All of us do. Draw near to Him. Enjoy Him. Man, if we just make this about Bible study, bummer. But if we make it about getting nearer to His heart and hearing from Him, I think we'll be blown away about what the Lord will want to do. And then you know what? When we have Christian liberty, we'll have it in a different context than maybe what we've had it before. And that's what Paul's going to be getting at. Verse 3. Okay, now this is pretty cool. I never saw this before, and I've read this several times. But if anyone loves God, there is one who is known by Him. Here's the knowledge that matters. And you know, I bet never any of us looked at it this way. But if anyone loves God, the one who is known by Him, knowledge that is important is the knowledge God has of those who love Him. It's different. That's what's important. Did you ever think right now we're sitting here? We're sitting in these nine sort of comfy chairs that make noises that sort of uncomfortable for some people. That right now the Lord is delighting in those who are drawing near to Him, who know Him. Right now across the world, someone has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's delighted in that. That's the knowledge we ought to be blown away by. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For these I delight, says the Lord. Bible study is important. Do not get past that. Yes, but the purpose of opening the Lord's Word is not for winning Bible trivia. Who plays Bible trivia? You stopped, didn't you? Why? What, you get in a fight? People play Monopoly and they get really cutthroat. Christians play Bible trivia and what happens? I can't remember the last time I played. The purpose is not for winning some game. The purpose is drawing near to the Lord and getting to know Him, not knowing about Him, but getting to know Him. And think about that for a moment. Are we at that place in our walk where we just know things about Him? Are we at that place in our walk where, man, I'm just wanting to know Him? And I think there's a big difference between the two. I tell folks time and time again, this is not a biology book or a history book or a math book to learn and know stuff. Man, this is just a portion of God's heart, a small portion of His heart, to know Him. Psalm 119, read Psalm 119, and that's about the Word. But listen to what David has to say, 129 through 132. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of Your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for Your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as Your custom is towards those who love Your name. He's desiring a person. He's not just desiring, hey, I want a 5-point Bible study so I can blow these folks away. And, you know, I understand you probably only need maybe 3, but some folks like 5. He just desires to know Him. Who's stressed? James is. Who sometimes in this room thinks God's kind of bummed out with them? I think we all probably do. Do you ever think that God just it blows his socks off. He just delights when we open the Word and we just want to just spend time with Him. That He delights in that. I want to ask you a question. How much pressure do you put on yourself when you open God's Word to hear from Him? You may never have thought of that before. Maybe you think, well, I've knocked off a devotion for 2 or 3 days, and well, I'm going to get down, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm sure He doesn't want to hear from Him, from me. It's not the case. He delights in His kid wanting to spend time with Him. You know what I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready and this and that and praying and all the other things? I was thinking of this one instance in the Old Testament where Elijah and these other guys have a showdown on Mount Carmel. And what's the difference between the two? Okay, the prophets of Baal do what? They build their elaborate thing. And they do what? All day long they're cutting themselves and they're calling on this. And Elijah says something that the commentators think maybe he's using the bathroom or something. You know, he taunts them a little bit. And then finally, after their altar's all destroyed and after they wore themselves out trying to get their puny little God's attention, Elijah does what? He says, okay, let's rebuild this thing. Okay, pour some water. No, that's not enough. Pour some more. Remember, there's been a drought. Keep at. Come on. Let's fill this. Come on. No, it's not. Come on. Come on. Okay, Lord. Just show up. Just spend time with Him. But if anyone loves God, that one is known by Him. That's knowledge that matters. Now, Paul says this about meat offered to idols. I mean, see, you see the brilliance in this guy? I mean, this totally has to be of the Lord. He didn't even get into the debate. He said, let's start talking about heart issues first. Where are you at? Are you puffed up? Are you being built up by God's love? And then he says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, there are many gods and many lords, as there are many gods and many lords. Yet for us, there is only one God, Father, of whom all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through Him, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Now, we are going to go back over this next week, but I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Okay, I didn't want to go too far with this. Paul says this is the reality about meat being offered to idols. There's no competition. Matter of fact, he says what? They're peon gods. Okay? They're so-called gods. They're nothing compared to who you serve. Okay? Compared to who you serve. There's no competition between the Lord and these puny little gods. They're nothing. They're so-called gods. But yet the reality for the Christian is, yet for us, there is one Father, there's one God, one Father of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, through whom we live. I want to ask you a question. Are you living under just these three words, yet for us? Man, that's a great place to be living. Yet for us, there's a difference. Because we serve the real God. We serve the Almighty God. We serve the living God. Yet for us. Here's a question. When was the last time we had our hearts been impacted with the blessing of just being the Lord's kid, being redeemed? Being God's kid is all about the yet for us. You know Jonathan? He's got certain privileges. And believe there are some privileges of him being my son. Okay? Here's one of them. There's not many. I had some. You're thinking, well, what could that be? Well, it's not money. I'm thinking, yet for Jonathan, you know what? He has access to anything that the Lord has graciously let me be a steward of. Anything. He has complete access. Now, Robert, if he comes over to my house in the middle of the night, I live in Texas. That's enough said. If you're in my house in the middle of the night, not wise. Okay? But my son, he can just do pretty much, you know, he has access. He can sit on the arm of my couch. Robert, don't do that. He can go to the refrigerator. Robert, don't do that. I mean, I don't mind you doing that. But, I mean, hey, you mind if I get something? You know, Jonathan doesn't have to do that. He can get undressed in the bathroom and take a bath. Kind of uncomfortable. Don't do that. I got a story later about Stephen. Ask me later, not now. You get my point? Yet for us. What an incredible blessing the yet for us who are sitting in this room today to be God's kid. Incredible blessing. It's like you guys are debating these so-called gods. Okay? Now we're going to look more into this next week because we're going to start talking about liberty and how love fits into all that. But I really felt like what the Lord wanted us to fasten our hearts on is, are we just getting puffed up or are we getting built up? Okay. Have we forgot the wonder of being God's kid? Have we forgot the wonder of yet for us? 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Just one thought about our Lord Jesus that should make our hearts swell. Not our heads, but our hearts. It's just one thought. Our inheritance that we have in Him. We ought to just be blown away. We ought to be blown away. You know, the poorest saint on this planet is rich. The poorest saint on this planet is rich. No, praise God, we were all born in this country and we're blessed beyond, wow, abundance. But understand this, just the things that we are blessed in is not truly what we're blessed in. We're blessed in the fact that we're going to go home and be with the Lord one day. We need to remember that. So here's one thing to think about before we close and celebrate communion. Just enjoy the Lord right now. 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if anyone loves God, this is known by Him. Just one thought should make us grow in love today. And that's why we're here today, right? To grow in love. The knowledge of how much Jesus loves us. If we make it just about Bible study, yes, we may win Bible trivia. But we've missed the point, and the point is to know the Lord. And when we know the Lord and we're walking with the Lord, then guess what we'll do? We'll seek to build others up. Love will come to the forefront. Well, yeah, the Lord has given me this privilege, but you know what? I don't want to flaunt it in front of this weaker brother or this weaker sister. I want to think about them. Sister, I want to think about them. Sister, I want to think about them. Sister, I want to think about them. Sister.